All right, good morning once again. The title of my topic this morning is Cravings. And I'm sure we've all had this feeling of craving something, sometimes going way out of our way to please our flesh. I'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, we all have our different cravings. It can be food, it can be many things, music. We've got lots to pick from in this day and age. So as we go through these remarks this morning, I want us to apply verse 12 to what we hear this morning, to these comments. And verse 12 reads, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Standeth in Strong's 2476, it's histemi, means abide, appoint, bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold up, lay, set up, stand by, or stand forth. Now certainly we can see these forms play out in our lives almost every day. The pride of life. Now, especially in our youth, we tend to believe that we will abide forever. We will continue and appoint, and then we will grow a little older, and we think that we will establish and hold up or set up our own lives. And if not done with the direction and the guidance of our Heavenly Father, the temptations that will allure us will consume even that of our very lives. The Diaglot renders verse 12, "Wherefore let him who is thinking that he has stood take care lest he fall." And in verse 6, the Diaglot reads, "Now these things were made types for us in order that we might not be cravers after evil things, even as they craved." That's where I got my thought for this topic. Believers, since Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham, David, the apostles, and even on up till our day, we are all, and they included, are fighting the same enemy. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." We all fight this battle within. We all have our struggles, but God is faithful. We are not. James chapter 4, James 4, I'll be reading verses 5 through 10. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. As we know, temptation is a factor every day in our life, and we better deal with it correctly. As we all know, how quickly and carelessly that we can all trample off a course. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:16. The three phrases that even our smallest children even recognize, which can batter us through our lives until we learn, believe, and subject our will and our lives unto that of the cares of our Lord. We know that we can make no excuses. We know how our flesh works, and we know how we are to deal with it. Work out your own salvation with trembling and with fear. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I looked up lust, and which means what? What does lust mean? Let's throw out a word, and we think of lust. Desire. Strong's 1939, a longing after, especially what is forbidden. Desire. And this takes us all the way back to the garden, when God had made everything very good, in verse 31 of Genesis. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now turn back to Genesis chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 6. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now here we have the flesh doing what it does the best, longing after that which is forbidden. The woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to her eyes, and her desires were to please herself. She was not satisfied with what she had. As with her, ourselves, the flesh wants more. We are no different than them, unless we use the Spirit word to direct us. These words, lust, lusted, lusting, lusteth, lusts, and lusty. All these words we know centered around lust occur 55 times in Scripture. And we know that 5 is the number of grace, and by God's grace are we saved. And we need double the grace sometimes. James chapter 1. Verses 12 through 16. James 1, 12 through 16. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them the loving. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. We should never think that God is tempting us by any means. External and internal temptations are always going to be there, and they are not put there by God to see if we will fail. Time and chance happeneth to them all. What our choices have and will be dealing with our temptations are what help us to mature as a believer and to help us build up a godly character and a godly seed. And only with trust in God and by His guidance with the truth can this be accomplished. I'm back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 20. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten, and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now God only asks for us to trust in Him and to live by faith. God is faithful and does the blessing, and God does the cursing. He allows these trials in our lives of His children so that we will become humble and that we will be perceptive to His Word, that we can learn to make right choices with the right attitudes and the right motives attached to them. Temptations sometimes feel and seem like they are just all around us. And this is why meditation on God's Word is so important, keeping us on that straight and narrow path. It can be used any time during the day, just as prayer is to be. And it can be also to strengthen our faith, our thoughts, which will help us to abstain from our fleshly lust, which Peter says in his first letter in 2:11, which war against the soul. And we have all been in that war which he has spoke of, and it is definitely not going to be won or overcome unless we use the sword of the Spirit. Unger's dictionary has the meaning of the word temptation understood as the enticement of a person to commit sin by offering some seeming advantage. So what is the advantage that we can gain when we fall into temptation? Do we become wiser, stronger, or do we end up with guilt and shame? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we growing in grace and favor with the Father? Are we growing in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we kind, patient, and loving? And if you do these things, verse 10 says, ye shall never fall or stumble. And we might think that we do these things, but are we doing them all of these things all of the time? We read in the verses, and do we do them all of the time? That is where we all miss the mark. And that is why Peter tells us to keep these things always in remembrance, and not just some of the time, but always. This is why we gather together, to strengthen and to edify one another. Every deliberate act is the outcome of deliberate thought. And that is a quote from Conviction and Conduct by Islip Collier. When we fall into temptation and are to the point where our thoughts have turned into actions, we have gotten to that point because that is where our desire to be was. It makes us feel good. We love to serve our flesh. We have let our minds wander away from the Spirit Word, thus making room in for our thoughts for every wicked imagination possible. We have to control our thinking, and only we are responsible for what is brought in and retained in our minds. And the fact is that God knows all of our thoughts. We have to exercise some sort of control, as we all have to make our own choices. Some temptations we will encourage, and others that we will dismiss. Another day, the ones we encourage, we dismiss, and vice versa. It's all relative on how strong we are in disciplining ourselves using God's Spirit Word. Proverbs 19:27. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And Proverbs 25:27-28. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. When we allow ourselves to be weak in our thinking, much grief will enter into our lives. Temptations will seem unending. Stress and guilt building will lead to one of two things. We will leave the truth, or we will be brought back to our senses by the loving hand of God. And once we have gotten to a point in our lives where God is no longer a part of it, and remembering our God is a jealous God, He will bring us back with chastening and rebuke. Proverbs 21:11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Even though we know that some of the temptations we allow ourselves to get into are going to bring about some sort of punishment, somehow we tend to do them anyways. Sometimes they seem almost irresistible to us. that no matter how many times we change our thoughts, the issue still keeps coming back. Or no matter how many times you say, I'm not going to do something, but again, we do it anyways. James 4:7 reads, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we are not feeling strong enough to overcome temptation, this is because we have not submitted ourselves to God. We can't resist without the submission. Our will and our life has to be turned over to the care and will of God. Verse 8 of James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And another point to make on the subject is our habits. Has anyone ever heard of muscle memory? So it is said that if you repeat something, a lot of this is for weight trainers or weightlifters, that it is said that if you repeat something at least 1,000 times, that it becomes just that, a muscle memory. And I think that it is safe to say that this would also include our intellect. Our brain, it is the primary center for regulating and coordinating body activities. Sensory impulses are received through afferent nerves. Those register as sensations, which are the basis for perception. It is the seat of consciousness, thought, memory, reason, judgment, and emotion. Motor impulses are discharged through efferent nerves to muscles and glands, initiating activities. Through reflex centers, automatic control of our body's activities are maintained, such as our cardiac and our respiratory systems. The brain consists of five parts. Anybody know them? Except for Dee, she can't say them. Five parts of the brain. Cerebrum, the cerebellum, the pons veri, the medulla oblongata, and the midbrain. The brain has lobes and glands. There are ventricles and canals, and there are spaces and fluids within the walls and the roofs of this spectacular creation. Habit has been defined as second nature, and habits become like natural impulses. And even when our brain is condemning them, and even others sometimes condemning them, they seem to have their own way. Temptations are always going to be there, from the younger ones up to the oldest person here. It is in our nature, our inherited nature of Adam, to please our flesh. We have to be so strict in our discipline for a while and regroup our thoughts, and we have to weed out all the unnecessary elements to get our bad habits broken and retrained so that they are in more perfect order with the habits that the Lord expects. In the beginning, a struggle will be made in this effort to please God and not the flesh, and the tendencies of us all will be to fall back on our own word. We can blame it on the environment or other people's personalities, but the sole responsibility is even our own. We have to refuse the evil and choose to do good. By a conscious effort on our part, the possibility of improving our habits and making new and useful habits in our service to God, we will have a much better success rate in overcoming the evil with good. Romans 15, 1 through 3. Romans 15, verses 1 through 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Our work is to be Christ-like in verse 3. Christ pleased not himself. So who do we please? Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10 reads, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Especially while we are young, temptations can have drastic outcomes. We see other kids doing things that might look neat or fun, smoking, cursing, so we ask, why not me? Drinking, lying, stealing, and why are they doing all of those things? It's because they receive pleasure from it. Kids are not getting much love and affection or assuredness from their parents anymore. Most parents aren't even home. Some of them aren't even old enough to be parents, and I am speaking from some experience. So as when these children reach adulthood, they're having no discipline received for their actions is making them rebellious and stubborn toward society, and even more disturbing, distancing them from the Creator. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We all know how easy it is to be choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Our desires for temporal success can hinder our ambitions in being subjects for the kingdom age. It is only our determination that will allow us to be successful in our walk. By focusing in on the truths that we have learned and the examples that we have read, and temptations have been here since the creation of man. Genesis 2:9, every tree was pleasant to the sight of man, and these things are what we covet, what's pleasant in our sight. There was no resisting back in Genesis 3:6, when we read earlier. There was no resisting, and they were unable to do the good that they knew. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So Jesus was led into the Judean wilderness to be tempted, as we just read in these verses. His physical hunger serves as the setting for his first temptation. The tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God, command the stones be made bread. And what does Jesus say? It is written. He is told to cast himself down from the temple, and Jesus says it is written again. The third time he is asked to fall down and worship Satan, and he replies, For it is written. Each temptation, and I would have to believe that there were possibly even more than these in those 40 days. But each time Jesus is tempted, he goes to the words that his heavenly Father had recorded for his use to get through these most difficult times. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6:16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. And 6:13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. And Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So not only were his days in the wilderness spent starving, but lonely. And I'm sure he was exhausted, and not just physically, but assuredly mentally. Staying so clear in his thinking to have only the words of wisdom so freely flowing from his lips while in such a miserable condition. How much temptation do we bear? How much love did one man show by his giving up of his life? He could have had, and he could have been anything, but he gave up this freedom. He gave up all of his time to do his Father's will. And God's words, which filled him, gave him this love to be able to give up all of those temporal things so that you and I, brothers and sisters, could have our sins washed away by his blood. So that when we fail from our temptations, and when they come upon each and every one of us, and that we so quickly fail, we all have a way to still receive eternal life. We can fail and still live. God's love has made a plan and purpose for the earth and its inhabitants so that all men won't be condemned for their sins, or Christ will be the only one in the kingdom. God has promised that a few chosen ones will inherit promises given to Abraham, Isaac, Israel. He gave Noah a covenant. There was a covenant made in the Garden of Eden. And there was a promise made to David that his house and his kingdom shall be established forever. All flesh is tempted. And for someone to be tempted, they have to be able to do right and wrong. Would it have been a temptation if Christ couldn't have sinned? We read in Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark 1:13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. Luke 4:2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And let me remind you of the definition of temptation, the enticement of a person to commit sin. It makes no sense that Jesus could be tempted if he wasn't able to sin. And this is what the world believes, that Jesus could not sin. And that's sad, because that takes away the beauty of all his struggles within that we all have to go through too. That's a sad thought. Jesus had for us that he endured this suffering when he didn't have to. Jesus was so connected to his Father that even at the time of his death, he is able to stay determined to do his Father's will. Matthew 26, verses 39 to 42. Matthew 26, verses 39 through 42. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying. So what an example that we have to follow and to learn from. All the comfort in time of mourning, able to love while being hated, and able to give while all others are taking. And I'd like to close with the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And these are from the Dialogue. Thus then pray you, our Father, thou in the heavens, revered be thy name. Let thy kingdom come. Thy will be done upon earth, even as in heaven. Give us this day our necessary food, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And abandon us not to trial, but preserve us from evil. We now come to the memorial portion of our service. We'll stand and sing hymn number 229. At even ere the sun was set, the sick, O Lord, around thee lay. Oh, in what diverse pains they met. Oh, with what joy they went away. Hymn number 229. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to their doctrines and commandments stated therein. Turn over to Luke 22. I'll read verses 24 through 28. Luke 22, 24 through 28. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Now look down to verse 32 of this chapter. Verse 32, But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now Jesus told Peter that he had prayed for him, and he prayed that his faith, that it fail not. His temptations to stray off course was and would be sharp and many. And this was also true of Christ. And Christ knows that craving feeling of wanting to go against God's word and will. He was tempted in all points. Jesus prayed for the apostles, and he will also make intercession for us to the Heavenly Father. So what a beautiful thought for us that Christ goes to the Father with our supplications. And not just anyone has this right to approach unto the Heavenly Father, but we believers in this room are of this class, of individuals that God has chosen out of the world of darkness into this marvelous light of truth. We know Christ did no sin, but he inherited that same sinful nature that we got from Adam. He was cursed, such as us, to feel the effects of sin and evil until that final conflict was over and that we rest in the ground. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we know there are many forms of temptations. Wisdom, love of praise, the desire of gain. But there is one element that is common to them all. They are all attempts to call up a willful and a wayward spirit, in contrast to a patient and a self-denying one. And temptation is understood as the enticement of a person to commit sin by offering some seeming advantage. And the greatest thing we see here is precisely this, that he who was exposed to the severest temptations ever so maintained the dominion over himself, that it could not be said of him that he hath done sin. He was capable to sin, but he perfectly vanquished the power of evil with his reverent faith, upholding what he taught and what he preached, even unto his own death. He had accepted the conditions of this mortal life, and it was his duty, as it is ours, to totally trust in God for our sustenance. For who else can we turn to? Christ maintained focus on his thoughts. He maintained focus on his actions. He concentrated on his ultimate mission to finally lay his life down. Over in Mark chapter 9, Mark 9, starting at verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answereth him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, and saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Now Jesus knew from his childhood that he would be delivered into the hands of evil men, that they would kill him, and that he would rise. Now down in Mark verses 32 through 36, "But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to even ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?' But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them." Now he gives them more details of the violence that he would sustain. "What would ye that I should do for you?" is the question he asked his disciples right after explaining his death, his burial, and his sacrifice. And their question back from them would be, who would be the greatest among them? Our service here this morning is to be wholly focused. No temptations from within or without. To remember that he gave his life for a ransom for many. And we are part of the many by his calling and through our baptism. So let us not lose focus on the fact that we are only saved from death. judgment is still to come, and many will know a second death when they are rejected by the Master. We come here each first day to take of these emblems of bread and wine, to remember this great sacrifice of our Lord and our Savior. We are commanded to. As He waits on the right hand of God, as our great High Priest and Mediator, we should ever be so thankful for this blessing from God that He has revealed unto us the gospel in His saving grace. Before our instructions for the table, I would like to close with a reading in John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. John 12, 44 through 50. And Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And with that, I will read our instructions from Matthew 26. Starting at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We will stand and offer a prayer for the bread. Brother Dave Pirtle, would you offer that? Brother Lucas Stanton, could you offer a prayer for the wine? Our closing hymn today will be hymn number 86. Afterwards, can you call upon Brother Daniel Stevens to close the prayer? Hark, what mean those holy voices sweetly sounding through the skies? Lo, the angelic host rejoices, heavenly hallelujahs rise. Hymn number 86.